You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, professional homegirls. I hope all is cute. It's your favorite professional homegirl here, Ebony, and I am thrilled, okay? Thrilled, because this week's episode is one of those ones to welcome you all back. Today, we have a special guest joining us for an eye-opening conversation. Prayer warriors, get ready, okay? However, before we get into it, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for each and every one of you for reaching out to me, just checking on me, making sure that I took the proper necessary care after you all heard season 2 premiere, and just making sure that I was okay, because baby, it was a heavy one. One of the listeners reached out to me and she said that out of all the traumatic and triggering episodes that I have done, and y'all, I did a lot, this one was the one. So if you haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. But please, please, please do what's best for your mental health, because listener discretion is advised. And this is season 2 from last week's episode, My Father's Mistress Killed My Mother. However, many of you did agree that you heard a switch in my guest voice during certain parts of our conversations. So I thought it was just me, but Taylor said he heard it. Those who did reach out to me and not only checked on me, but you gave me some, we were just going back and forth and kikiing about this last week's episode, and you definitely mentioned that you heard it. So I'm like, I know I'm not going crazy. Also, if you would like to share your thoughts or just kiki with me and talk about any of the conversations you hear on the Professional Homegirl podcast, You can follow me at the PhD Podcast on Instagram and at the Professional Homegirl on TikTok and YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, okay, Professional Homegirls, because full videos are dropping every Friday. Now, on this week's episode, our guest will be sharing her journey of denouncing her sorority affiliation. Now, when I mentioned this topic on Instagram, child, I received mad messages in my DMs with y'all niggas saying, all right, E, we don't want to hear no devilish shit. But let me tell you one thing. One thing's for certain, two things for sure. This conversation was nothing short of insightful, okay? In part one, our guest dives into some thought-provoking topics, such as the concept of knowing what you sign up for when it comes to pledging, revelations about the sorority founders or just the organization founders that may surprise you. And when I tell y'all the way she broke this down, it was a complete mind fuck, okay? And a deep dive into the theme of idolatry. So prayer warriors, grab a seat, get comfortable, and join us as we embark on this insightful journey together, because part one of I Denounce My Sorority starts now. All right, y'all. I am super excited about this week's episode. Me and my guests, we literally were just kikiing about the dark internet. So to my guests, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ebony. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, yes. You know, when people see topics like this, I feel like this topic get a lot of slack. Why do you think so?
Because it's sensitive. We know Black folks, you know, first of all, they automatically assume it's only about them, but it's really about all secret societies.
Yeah.
But don't want nobody messing with our stuff. We only got a little bit. So if somebody come along trying to mess up what we got, we gonna try to protect
yeah.
it. You know, you gotta defend what's important to you. And so this has been something that has been culturally significant to our people. And it looks like it's has a really positive affront to mm-hmm. it. And so that's why, you know, it's a marker for our society and our culture.
Yeah.
So yeah. It warrants, people want to protect it.
Yeah, you know, I went to a HBCU and, you know, at the time I wanted to pledge, but the sorority I wanted to pledge, the line got dropped. And I never heard about, I didn't even know it was a thing that you can denounce organizations. And then when you go down the rabbit hole, you're like, oh shit, like this is a real thing. Did you know anyone that did this,
girl,
before you did?
I had heard of some people mm-hmm. before I pledged doing that, but I didn't think anything of it. Like, I just thought like, oh, that's just what they felt led to do. And I didn't think it was a problem across the board.
Right.
I thought it was an individual decision. I knew people were inactive.
That's part.
More common. It's for people to pledge and never do anything with it, or to have kids and fall off. That's more common.
Yeah, because people just want to also feel like they want to be belong to a sorority or a fraternity, because that's like the thing to do if you went to college and shit,
yeah.
right?
Right. But as far as like, you know, writing a letter and publicly telling people you're not a member anymore, never crossed my mind. Never. I know I had a friend of mine that withdrew, that wasn't a member anymore, but as far as I know, she just like told her chapter members and that was it. It was like back, I'm kind of old, so back then, not old, but
she's not old, y'all.
But this was back in the days of like College Club, Black Planet, MySpace, mm-hmm. right? So people didn't get on the internet back then and say, oh, I'm not a Delta anymore,
right.
or not an SG Row anymore. So, you just tell the people maybe you around, like, I don't do that no more, I ain't with it. But I never knew about like writing a letter, having to do like these spiritual renunciations, having spiritual backlash behind it, like none of that.
Mm. So what would you say are some common themes or reasons you believe might be driving others to denounce their Greek affiliations?
I think people can do it for any reason,
yeah.
right? Some people do it because they don't want to lose, like, so let's say, first of all, none of these things are the same. okay, everybody in these organizations are nuanced. There are a lot of factors, a lot of things that come into play. So if you're looking at like older members, like grand members, sometimes they may step back a bit because of the violence connected. Maybe they don't want to lose their professional status. Maybe they don't want to deal with the liability of losing property, home, freedom, because people may do things that people go to jail for. So maybe sometimes people step back because of that. But as far as my experience, in the community that I'm aware of, people do it because they become aware of the spiritual abomination of it as a Christian. So I haven't heard like of anybody who's a Muslim renouncing. I haven't heard of any Buddhists or anything. Most of the people I know about that do it are like consider themselves to be devout Christians, like followers of Christ, not just like, oh, I got baptized when I was 12 and I'm a Christian because I was born and always raised that way. No, these are like people that are intentionally trying to make daily decisions according to the word of God. And then they come out, they recognize that, oh, there are, you know, Egyptian, Greek, and Roman gods connected to these organizations. Right. There's a lot of deception. So then they come out and say, this doesn't align with my faith, with the journey that I'm taking. And so that's a very light, high level overview.
Wait, so what's the dark high level overview?
Well, I mean, a lot of people will come and say, you know, I didn't make it an idol in my life. So some people think that, like, because the main issue is idolatry, which is one of the, what is the main thing.
And that's a good point you brought up, because when people saw this title, someone was like, here we go with people saying that we worship idols and stuff. They was like, that's not the case for me.
Yeah, it's so low key, right? So this is the thing, like, most people would think it means like how you can make your job an idol, or how you can make your children an idol, or your Louis Vuitton bags, or things. Like, people think about things and you make them an idol and you put them before God, like in priority, right? But that's not what this is. It can be that, but that's not the main issue. The main issue is the organizations are embedded with the idols. But here's the bigger problem. This is why people do the denouncing. Denouncing is public.
Right.
Renouncing is private. Denouncing is public. The reason why people keep opening up their big mouths about it is because the organizations don't tell you. It's secret. So they'll look at it and say, here they go. Ain't no Egyptian, Greek, or Roman gods connected to my organization. We don't worship our organizations. We don't worship false gods, but they don't see it. If we open our mouths about it, because if the organizations will come out and say, hey, before you spend $2,500 or $4,000, whatever you spend to pledge, right? Look over this book, look over this ceremony, this ritual, and make sure it doesn't violate any of your personal standards, your integrity, who you are as a person.
Right.
Before you make this lifetime commitment. Because you pledge, they tell you that this is for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Even some of the organizations say you will carry this decision, this oath with you into the final judgment. They write that in the book. So when people come out and they denounce and they expose this information that people don't know, before they make these decisions, they pay their money, they spend their time, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So this is why people are talking about it and being loud about it, because it is deceptive. And they'll say it's like, you went to HBCU, so I went to PWI. So I heard that when you go to the HBCU, everything is like a process. You want to join the choir.
Yeah.
You want to join the band. You want to join a frat. All these clubs and organizations, there's a process involved.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Is there something wrong with, not devil's advocate since we're on this topic, but is there something wrong with processes?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's nothing wrong with the process. I think it's something wrong with...
What's in the process?
I think it's something wrong with... So the reason why I brought up process is to say discretion.
Man, discretion was a big word in college.
That's the cultural marker. And I'm speaking about from a Black cultural perspective, right? Now, I'm not full on excluding the dominant society, aka white people.
Right.
I'm not I mean, they do that thing too, and that's the issue too in Christianity, right? But what I'm talking about, what I know,
right?
Okay, so discretion is a cultural marker for these organizations, for that level of community, for that community in higher education, mm-hmm. right? But discretion carries with it an air of deception. Mm. So even if I were to talk to somebody who was in Kappa Alpha Psi, mm-hmm. or talk to somebody in AKA, they would say, "You don't know what's in my book."
Mm.
Right? Because it's a secret.
Right.
They have to be discreet. They would say, you don't know what's in my ritual. You don't know what I did to pledge. How can you say that my organization is hiding affiliation with these gods because you don't know? So they have to be discreet. Right. So even that right there, from a Christian perspective, from someone who is living their life day to day to get to a judgment and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Somebody that's living that way, they don't want to deal with no deception, mm-hmm. because the scripture says that lying is an abomination to the Lord, that he who lifts up his hands has no deception in his heart, right? So we want to stay away from deception. So that in and of itself is a problem, right? Because that's blanket for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's across the board. So that's one thing. So idols are sad. But now if you bring in the parts that nobody wants to talk about, the things that people can't see, because most people, when they pledge, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, mm-hmm. spend minimum 2 weeks online. I'm being gracious. Boy, by saying 2 weeks.
Yeah, minimum.
Thank you. I'm being gracious. So think about how you make decisions. Do you, when you go to buy a car or buy property, how long do you spend researching? How long do you spend making sure your credit is proper?
Yeah.
You do your market research. You're looking at the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You're making an important decision. You're making an investment in your future,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you do that under duress of no sleep, no eating, stress at nighttime, being abused? Mm. And then you go and make a big decision like purchasing property.
Mm.
You don't know what you're buying. You haven't seen it. You didn't read the contract. That's what happens when you pledge. You are under stress, mm-hmm. for weeks at a time, sleep deprived. You haven't read the contract. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're getting into, right? But then you say, "This is an investment that I'm making. I put my money on the table and sign up for this for an indefinite amount of time." It's not wise. Mm-hmm. It's not wise. And it's not fair to people. And what ends up happening is if they die, If they have a faith, right? And so again, all of these decisions are made based off of faith.
Right.
So the lens is faith. The lens is life and mm-hmm. death. The lens is eternal life. What happens after this fleshly body is gone, right? From a Christian perspective. So if someone is operating from that perspective, and the scripture says that idolaters will have their part in the lake of fire, but you get there and find out you was involved in idolatry and you didn't even know it, because you was 18 and you didn't see the ritual in advance, but when you participated in it, which you don't remember because you were sleepy, you just wanted it over with. You done already spent 6 weeks online.
Right.
You at the end now. They done told you to come in your white, come in your black, kneel down. You don't remember kneeling down.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they tell you at that informational you was going to have to bow down? No, they didn't tell you.
Mm.
So that's the problem. It's the deception. It's the secrecy. Let people make an informed decision. Let people know that your ritual says that they come under the protection of Pallas Athena.
Right.
So you want me to go, as a Christian woman, I should go and stand before the Most High God and say that I am constitutionally bound to an organization that has committed to be under the protection of Pallas Athena, and I'm supposed to expect that Jesus Christ will open the pearly gates to me?
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know, this is very interesting because now you got me thinking, do you feel like, let's just say Greek life, do you feel like these organizations should be that transparent? Because do you feel like sometimes when you, like, say, for instance, you have your own business and you building your business, will you be transparent all the way about your business, about the things that you did to get to a certain place? Like, what things do you feel like should be safekeep and should only be known to those who want to be a part of it?
Yeah, I think that people can do anything they want to do. You can run your business however you want to run it. You don't have to run your business ethically.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If it ain't grounds to be brought up in court, who do you answer to?
Yeah.
So, I think they should tell because it's life and death.
Yeah.
I think they should tell because from my vantage point, when I read the scripture talks about, and God doesn't change. So he's the God of the Bible doesn't change. He's automatically saying from jump, if you connect to these things, you're going to struggle with infertility. You're going to struggle with disease. You're going to struggle with poverty, right? He's saying that he says that you and your children to the third and fourth generation. So that means me, if I pledge, mm-hmm. right? I might not struggle with infertility. I might not struggle with poverty. My daughter
right.
might not struggle with infertility or poverty. But her kids? And her kids,
yeah,
they see the trouble for the decisions that I made because that's what the God of the Bible says. He says, hey, if you bow down to these gods, if you make covenant with these gods, if you worship them, if you say their names, like as to like to praise them, you know, he said it's going to be a price for that. So because it does impact human beings.
Yeah.
It can have an impact. It has a spiritual, it could have spiritual implications for people. And because it can have eternal implications for people, they should let people make an accurate judgment.
Mm.
To say, to and but it's a secret society. So you got to understand, it's not just about community service.
Yeah.
You can do community service on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can gather up as many people as you want. You can do community service without taking an oath.
Mm-hmm.
You can do community service without paying a head tax, without paying risk insurance, without having a process of being hazed for weeks and sleep deprived and fasting. Why? If it's not a spiritual, these rituals recognize that these are spiritual processes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know that your organization is doing a spiritual process on the front end, why not tell people that are, you know, what is the spiritual risk?
Mm.
They'll have you sign a waiver to waive legal risk.
Right.
What about the spiritual risk?
Mm. You know, it just reminds me of the conversation I always have with my cousin. We always say, like, everything is spiritual.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And I mean, this is the thing, like the word says that the things that you see are temporary, right? Your flesh, your home, your clothes, all those things are temporary. But it says the things that you cannot see are the things that are eternal.
Mm.
So there's more things that we cannot see than the things that we can see. And those are the things that last forever. That basically means that everything has a spiritual foundation. Everything has a spiritual background or a spiritual cause or a spiritual effect.
Mm-hmm.
And if we be ignorant and ignore that, what do we do when what we see, the body, has passed away?
Right.
And now we have to recognize or be accountable for the things that were spiritual.
Right.
It's a big cost.
I mean, yeah, especially when it comes to spiritual.
And nobody comes, look, but here's the thing. Ain't nobody came back and said, oh, I went to hell because I played. Some people do have dreams. Now, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying we don't know nobody that have died.
Right.
That has come back and said, I got judged and this is what happened to me.
Mm.
So this is why, and it's even a story in the Bible about a rich man and Lazarus, right? The poor man would ask, Lazarus would ask the rich man for food and he wouldn't give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He would rather have given the food to the dogs than to give it to the poor man. Well, when they died, they both died. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom being comforted. But the rich man, it says he was in torment and that he could see the man who sat outside his gate and begged him. And he said, look, I'm in torment here.
Mm.
Can you, and I could see you chilling in Abraham's bosom. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
Can you get the tip of your finger in the water and just give me a drop on my tongue?
Mm.
And he said, no. He said, there's a big gulf that separates us. Like, yeah, you can see me. You know you're in torment and you know that he's in peace. But I can't help you from here.
Mm.
He says, well, then look, okay, this is my bed. I'm going to lie in it. But can you send him back to tell my brothers?
Right.
Don't come to this place. He said, no. He said, your brothers have the prophets.
Mm.
If they won't listen to the man who was alive, if they won't listen to the people that God has sent to them, what make you think that he should come out of his rest, his eternal rest, to go and warn some stubborn
people? You and your people out.
Won't listen already.
Right.
So that's the thing. Like, we don't know. Yeah, ain't nobody came back and said, yeah, that one landed me in the lake of fire.
Mm.
No, we can't. You can't come back and say, woe unto you. So you have to listen to the people that's here, or you don't.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
So would you say there is any good in pledging? Because I do feel like when I watch these videos, I hear these stories, a lot of time, a lot of people feel like, or they are expressing that these organizations, why are you smiling?
Because, you know,
these organizations are demonic. That's what I wanted to say.
I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar.
Right.
And there was affection there. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was a member for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that if you don't love something.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing of it. Like, it's like a marriage, you know? Even the way that they shower you with gifts when you come in, that resembles, you have cake, you have a welcome reception, you get gifts, they make speeches about you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a marriage. They tell you this is for life, right? It's like a marriage. You make an oath. You promise. You promise to obey. You promise to submit. Those things are written in the rituals. You understand that?
Right.
It's a marriage, okay? So there is affection there. Mm-hmm. There is love there. This is why we sing those songs.
Mm-hmm.
This is why when someone is in trouble, we go to great lengths most of the time. I'm not going to say everybody does it, but most of the time we'll go to great lengths to help each other.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying? It's important.
Mm-hmm.
The bond is important. So are there things inside of it that are good? Absolutely. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I had great times. Do you understand me?
I feel like you was outside when you was in your sorority. Because you know what? When I was watching the video, yeah. I can tell that like, even who you are now, that love was real.
I would not have left if God had not told me that it was wrong.
Right.
I would not have left if he had not pulled the veil from my eyes. People told me for years before I got the personal revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It came up before me. And I was like, not me. I know about the other orgs. God, you can see the connection. Some of the organizations have the actual images of the idols on their crest.
Right.
Some of them have the names, you know, woven into the organizations. The one that I was in does not.
Right.
Only he has it as the name of like the magazine, and it used to be the name of the Pledge Club. And but again, that's just one thing about it that makes God say, there's no place for that in my kingdom. Because again, there's the deception. Again, there's the violence. Again, there's the oath. Because Jesus said, don't take no oaths.
Mm.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. So why I got to bow and promise to monitor my character by your standards.
Right.
That was the oath that was part of my sorority, is that I will allow the sorority to be the inspiration for the making of my character.
Mm.
That is not godly. Mm-hmm. That's not a godly commitment.
Right.
Jesus is supposed to be the inspiration for the making of my character. The fruit of the spirit is supposed to be what I cultivate for my character, not 9 white pearls, not 9 virtues of another organization.
Right.
No, it's supposed to be the 9 virtues of the fruit of the spirit. So there are good things. One thing, I'm going back to your question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things the Black community would not see if it were not for these organizations. They do good work.
Right.
The scholarships, the
just giving back to the community.
Preparation for college, the mentorship that they provide to young people, even though they're grooming the young people to want to be a part of the organization and to later take these same oaths, I think that's a problem. But on the surface, they do good things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be so good, but it's two sides to the coin, because even though they do good things, on the inside, the amount of discord, the amount of backbiting and gossiping and cheating and like all that stuff is popping. All that stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And even though it could happen in the church, right? Because the church gets infiltrated too. The church has all these things happening inside of it too. The church is God's choice. The fraternities and sororities are not.
Mm.
You understand? So Jesus is going to clean up his church. He is not going to clean up the fraternities and sororities. He's going to pull his people out of them. So there's a parallel, right? You see, both of them can have bad. Any organization, any institution can be infiltrated by evil, right? It can exist. It can happen. The difference is which one is ordained by the Most High God, which one is not.
Mm.
Which one is for his glory? The church is for the glory of God. The fraternities and sororities are for the glory of their organizations.
Do you feel like, and this might be a broad question, do you feel like where we at now in 2024 and from when your sorority was founded and the rest of the sorority or just organizations, do you think this is the intentions of the founders?
Girl, they asked me that in my exit interview.
Mm. Come on now. Let's give an Oprah now. Come on now.
She asked me that in my exit interview. And you know what I said?
Because that's a really good question.
At that point, I was so irritated, though, with them trying to keep me during that interview. I shut her down and was like, you know what? I don't know and I don't care. But I did have an opinion. I couldn't continue to go back and forth with her about this.
Oh, she was drilling you?
Oh, yeah. They were trying to keep me. They were offering me various levels of. I mean, I understand it. Don't get me wrong. I get it.
I mean, you was active for 12 years, so you were a devout.
I was a member for 12 years. I was active for about 10.
Yeah.
I had a little time when I wasn't financial, but.
That's still a strong commitment.
Yeah. And that, I mean, people are coming out now that have been in for 30 years and people are really like getting the revelation. So let me say this though. Do I think this was their intention? Let me say this. These organizations have people who are identified as the founders. It could be 7 people. It could be 3 people.
Right.
It could be 22 people for some of these organizations. Okay. I don't think that those people are the founders.
Mm.
I think that they may have been the members, the people who were the first people to join, the first people who put it together. But if you look at how the first Black fraternity got started, now I'm not even talking about Alpha Alpha, I'm talking about Sigma Pi Phi, the Boule.
Right.
And I think it was another one before there. Sigma Pi Phi is the first one, but there was one.
It was a white one, right?
He got the inspiration from the white one.
Right.
Right. So it was somebody, I'm going to share a link with you to the video so you can see it. And maybe you might want to add it to this or whatever. But there's an informational video. It's like a little cartoon. And it was like a little Black guy who was cleaning up. This is like in maybe, let's say this is in, let's say 1901, 1902.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying it's early 1900s. Before Alpha Alpha, which is the first African-American collegiate fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the first African-American fraternity is Sigma Pi Phi, which is also known as the Boule. You will see like LeBron James has a tattoo of the Boule emblem on his chest. This is the organization. It's very secret. They just actually started talking about the fact that they exist in the 80s.
Mm.
They kept it real low key. Okay, the Boule. This is where they are saying like people who are of out and prosperous, the doctors, the dentists, the attorneys, the civil rights activists, they are members of this secret society, the Boule.
Mm, so can you do the Boule and another Greek fraternity, or that is like that?
Yeah, the Boule is only for men,
right?
I believe they have wives, but they can be in, like Martin Luther King was in the Boule and Alpha Phi.
Okay, got it.
Understand?
Yeah.
W.B.E. Du Bois was in the Boule.
Mm.
Sigma Pi Phi. So
that's interesting.
I hope I'm getting the Greek letters right because it's been a while since I looked it up. But anyway, so the dude was cleaning up. The white folks was having their fraternity meeting. They had their secret societies, right? So all their secret societies come out of Freemasonry, come out of the Knights Templar, all these previous way late dating, early dating secret societies, okay?
Right.
So he's at this college or whatever, and they're meeting, and he's like, well, this looks pretty cool. I want to join. And he's like, well, they're enough for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't mix at that time. This is the first one didn't come about until about 40 years after the emancipation of Africans in this country.
Right.
Right. So when they decided to create these organizations 40 years after the Exodus, after the emancipation, after we have been made free, right? And also what's happening is we're starting to build a life for ourselves. We're reconstructing. We are, you know, because of the segregation, we could build our own wealth.
Getting our foot in the ground, and right?
We could keep our money more closer to ourselves or whatever. So now they have to find a way. How do we keep tabs on who's elevating in this society so that we can continue the enforcement of our system of white supremacy?
Nah.
Look. Do they not have their finger on those of us who are wealthy? Do they not have us under their control? And if you don't follow, will they not make you call you crazy, trump you up on all sorts of legal charges? You'll find yourself in prison. So this is when they started these organizations, that was the goal. Mm-hmm. The goal is how do we keep control of the best and the brightest of this group of people?
That
we can bring to our secret societies and bring them into our ultimate agenda of control, right? Economic control, educational control. They have to control these industries, these institutions, right? Everything is under the, girl, I'm saying a lot. Let me slow. Do I think it was the intention of the founders? I don't necessarily know that they knew how far-reaching what they was doing would be. I think maybe at some point their intentions were good because they were in college. I think that they wanted to help people congregate and build community. But I also know that a lot of them were involved in Freemasonry. And if they had any high degrees and they had become aware, because according to people who come out of Freemasonry, they say you don't really know what you're into until you get up to the 30th degree. Mm. Right? You don't know. At the earlier degrees, you don't know what you're doing. It seems like just a regular club where you learn these things and work on your character, try to become better. You don't know the religious implications and the spiritual implications of what you're doing until you get up higher. So did they know what they were doing? I don't know. But do I think they acted alone? Do I think that no one knew? Someone knew. Mm. Maybe they didn't know. Someone knew. That's how I put that. I don't think it was all innocent either. Because you got to look. They are choosing these symbols to represent these organizations. They are writing the rituals. Mm. They are naming these gods. They are saying this is what you must do.
This is deep.
Even though it's been established over, these organizations are over 100 years now.
Yeah.
What lasts for Black people that's all good that lasts that long?
You don't think it's possible?
What do we have? I don't know. I'm asking. I'm conversing with you, sis. Every day. What do we have that is pure, right? That is all good for us. We ain't lost no children to it. People have lost their children pledging these organizations. Mm. People have had their bodies maimed and bruised to pledge. The psychological damage that happens to mostly everybody who pledges, right?
Right.
Even if they be paper, they gonna get subjected to bullying. So what do Black people have that have lasted as long as these organizations have? That's all good. I think we need to ask that question. Yeah. Do we have anything?
You got me thinking.
What do we have? Who are we? What do we have?
Damn. What do we have? Wow.
That's why, like, girl, I don't know. Race is a trip anyway.
Yeah, so. race is a trip. I say that all the time. There's Black, there's white, and then there's green.
Yeah. Race is a trip. And it's really just a tool anyway. It's not socially constructed. It's not real. Mm. But the way that it's been so ingrained in our world.
Right.
It's not even just in the U.S.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is an issue in Paris. This is an issue everywhere.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, it's an issue in Down Under. It's an issue. Colorism, separate racism, white supremacy, all of these things, it's definitely a demonic tool. Mm-hmm. So if we build organizations strictly based off of race and only look at that, then that's how we make race our God.
Mm. So this is off the topic, but do you ever see Black people getting ahead or just advancing in life?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think we do.
Because when you ask, I mean, I think we have, but when you put it that way, like, what do we have that's pure, that, you know, no blood was shed?
Oh, you mean like, do I see it happening for us in the future?
Yeah. Because now you got my wheels going, and I'm just thinking, like, what do we have?
I don't, because the kingdoms of this world are run by the prince of the air. Mm. See, if you look at things in a natural way, you won't consider those things. But if you look at it according to the framework of the scripture, which is there's only two kingdoms, there's only two masters, right? There's only light and dark.
Yeah.
There's only what is godly and what is evil, right? There's only what is holy and what is evil. So if you look at it from that perspective, only the kingdom of God is the way up.
Right.
So, and now if you just want to look at it plainly and you want to think about like other industries like music, education, like, yeah, people do rise to fame.
I mean, but look at the music industry.
Different industries.
Not going to say no names, but it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on, man.
But you see what I'm saying? So yeah, people can grow. We can advance, but all the people that advance, they will tell you about the price.
Yeah.
There's a price to be paid to advance. And this is, again, I know this is not a Christian program, but you got to look at, I have to reference the scripture, right? When Jesus fasted, before he started his ministry, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yes.
At the end of the fast, or during the fast, he was tempted
by
of the devil.
By everything that
one
he could
give
him.
One of the temptations was so that the devil tempted him to jump and kill himself, told him to test God and see if the angels would catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then he tested him to eat his belly, because our appetite can be our God.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not just appetite for food, but it's
appetite for everything.
Right?
Yeah. Sex,
so
money.
He tested him his appetite, and then he tested him on wealth and power and influence. So if you want wealth and power and influence, you have to bow. That was the temptation that he gave to Jesus. He said, he showed him, I can give you all these things. I can give you a network. I can give you property. I can give you wealth. I can give you influence. All the kingdoms of the world will be yours if you would just kneel down and worship me. Reverence. Just this one time. That's all he had to do. And Jesus was like, it is written, thou shalt worship, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all that heart, with all that soul, thou shalt worship him only.
Yeah.
So he told him, I'm not bowing down to you. But if you listen to the accounts of these different people, the sports people, the musicians, the artists, the actors, all the people who make it, who obtain sort of like earthly wealth, status, influence, right, property, they tell you they get approached. They have times when they are asked to compromise spiritually to do certain things. And the ones who come out and tell about it, they start looking crazy. We be like, oh, they rambling, they on drugs.
Yeah.
They done lost their mind. You know, they start looking crazy to the outsiders, right? But these people are in a battle.
Yeah.
So I think that even the HBCUs, right?
Wait, before you make your point on HBCUs, is it possible to only serve God and to still get all those things that we mentioned when it comes to like power, wealth, and things of that nature? Because I don't think people talk about that more compared to worshiping the devil.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think it's possible because the scripture says that it is the Lord that God who gives you power to obtain wealth.
Right.
And it also talks about that in Joshua 1. He says that if you keep the words that are written in this book and meditate on them day and night, and never let them depart from your mouth, that he will make your way successful. He will give you good success.
Yeah.
So I believe it's possible for someone to have their spiritual walk with God intact, their integrity intact, and still elevate and have good success. The difference is good success versus success, right?
Because
the scripture says he can give you good success. That means success that doesn't cost you your life. That means success that does not, it'll cost you. Now, following Christ does cost you your life, because he said that you got to be willing to lay down your life.
Yeah.
Lay down what you think is important to do what I say is important. So in that sense, it does cost. But in the sense of having to make blood sacrifices, do you have to lie, cheat, steal? Do you have to worship other gods? Do you have to do those things that are spiritually abominable to the Most High God?
Yeah.
No. He said, if you keep my word, I can make you successful.
Yeah.
The scripture says, I think it's Psalm 74, it says, promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, from the north or from the south.
It comes from me.
It comes from the Lord. It comes from above.
Yeah.
So yes, it's possible to be a professional. It's possible to walk with the Lord seriously, not just like be professing like I'm a Christian, but no, like even when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Right. To have relationship with the Most High God and still be wealthy, still achieve, still advance, still have influence, still have power. We should.
Yeah.
He wants to give us those things. He's raising up people that will do those things when nobody's looking and that he can trust. And he's going to pour out his wealth on them.
Yeah.
But it is not going to cost them sickness and disease. It's not going to cost their generations. They're not going to leave an inheritance of death for their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And they're not going to open up their eyes and heal.
So there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know what's so funny? I'm really enjoying this conversation, and y'all, we're going to get back to her denouncing her sorority. But I just think, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I shared this with my professional homegirls, but I have been being pulled to read my Bible more. So I've been reading my Bible. Well, first I was reading my, like, the actual Bible, but I was like, come on, God, like, what do these words mean? So I got the Bible app, and you know, it's easier for me to read because I'm like, I can read a book like in a day. And I've been reading it every night, every morning, just to get my energy and my spirit right. And that's one of the reasons why I gave up chocolate for Lent, because I love chocolate. I love cheap chocolate at that. But I'm like, I love a Kit Kat bar. Like Reese's, Eminem, like I love all
that's
of
so
it. But I said it to say, when you read the word and you understand the reasons why God went through what he went through for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know. It just made me feel more empowered to be like, if he can do it, I know you can do it. So the discipline. Exactly.
Discipline is the way of the kingdom. That's one of the fruit of the spirit in Galatians 5. It says temperance, but it means self-control.
Yes. Yes. And I'm just like, I am so proud of myself because honestly, I've been eating chocolate almost every day since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm just like, and every now and then I feel it. So I pop a little peppermint in my mouth to suppress it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just so funny how we got on this subject. And I'm just like, all right, God, yeah. I'm almost at the finish line.
And that's the thing. Like, the Holy Spirit will draw us to himself. You know, if the person is willing, if the person is willing to make the sacrifice, because that's what you did.
Yeah.
You made a sacrifice. You gave up something that was, that you liked, something that was important to you, for the intentions to draw closer.
Yeah.
To God, right? To your God. And so if people are doing that, the scripture says in James 4, if you draw closer to me, I'll draw closer to you. So if people do that, you will get that.
Yeah.
You will get, if you're laying things down, if you're sacrificing your time, your desires, what you think is right, your thoughts, your culture, your tradition, your favorite foods, whatever that thing might be.
Yeah.
And he says, give up. And the thing is, like, the enemy wants you to sacrifice too. You know what I mean?
Man.
You're going to give up something with him too. But when God asks you to give up something, it's not to kill you. It's not to hurt you.
Yeah.
His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That chocolate going to destroy you.
Yeah.
You understand? So you're giving up something that's bad for you for something that's going to give you life.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before we get back, we pivot back into your story. You was going to mention something about HBCUs.
Yeah, I think that is one of the paths for Black people to have something that's culturally substantial and leads to our advancement.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point. HBCUs, yeah.
Yeah, but who funds them?
Child.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't even all like, who, and then a lot of times.
But who fault is that when it comes to who the funding? Because a lot of times we don't even support.
System.
Yeah, because a lot of times we don't even support our own.
It's the system.
Right.
But yeah. Well, I don't know about the HBCU alumni and how y'all support, but ultimately, and I believe y'all do support your schools
and
everything.
Sure.
I've donated to HBCUs. I didn't go to one. But when I get the opportunity, I do donate. But you look at the fraternities and sororities, they, especially Alpha Kappa Alpha, they donated millions of dollars.
Yeah.
HBCUs over the last few years. They have intentionally had an initiative to do that.
Yeah.
And that's really good. That's really important. But ultimately, you got to still look at it's culture versus faith, right? The culture of the HBCU was important, but is it feeding the faith? Is it feeding the spirit of the person? Is it in making an investment in the faith? You see what I'm saying? So like, yeah, we have these institutions. We have these schools that are good, mm-hmm. that are helpful, that educate our own, that help us band together, create networks. And all of that is good. It's good for the culture. But the culture always feeds a kingdom.
Mm.
Culture belongs to a kingdom. Which kingdom does that culture belong to? Does it belong to the kingdom of God,
right.
or does it belong to the kingdom of darkness?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because it's only two. You can only serve two men. It's only two paths. It's a straight and a narrow. And then there's wide is the way.
Right.
Right? Broad is the way. So which culture, which kingdom does that culture feed? So even though we look at that institution and it's a point, those institutions are points of progress and markers for where our people have come from, what we can achieve, who we can be,
mm-hmm.
you know, but ultimately, it's separate from what is God saying? And so everybody has to be faced with a choice.
Yeah.
Am I going to live in a way that's carnal, or am I going to live in a way that feeds the spirit according to the spirit? And when I was shown that my sorority was inherently against the Most High God and that he hated it, this is the impression that he gave me. He didn't say, like, just being active is cool. No. He says, this caused me to turn my head from you.
Mm.
He don't like that. Okay? And people can say whatever they want to say, but all I'm sharing is what the scripture says and what he gave me personally as an individual. So I had to make a choice.
So you mentioned earlier about how a lot of times we may not, or people who are in Greek organizations may not struggle. Their offspring may struggle or fertile online generations. What did you struggle with? Or did you struggle with anything?
I'm a first generation college student, and I did not know that I had family connections to Freemasonry until I came out of the sorority. Mm. And I was fasting and the Holy Spirit showed me. There were, if I go back in my, my dad died early. Mm-hmm. That was what led me to ask the question. What made my dad die so early? He was in his like late 30s when he died.
How did he die?
Unknown, like just no. Organs just stopped working.
Oh, wow.
And before that, he was like in a wheelchair and couldn't walk.
In his 30s?
Yeah. So, and I'm an only child. So that happened. And even before that, his father went in for surgery, completely unrelated, came out, can never walk again.
What?
So when I come out of the sorority, I find out that my grandfather's father and his father were Freemasons.
Mm.
So that puts my grandfather and my father in the direct line of fire, because these are, when you take an oath, you're making a spiritual covenant. It's a contract. There are altars at these ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is what I'm saying. If they tell you at the informational, when you first go to say, hey, I'm interested in this organization, do they tell you, oh, when you finally come here, we're going to set up an altar?
Mm.
Do you know what an altar is, by the way? An altar is, looks like this in the natural. It's a table. We cover it. We put sacred things on it. And we create an environment that is sacred. In the spirit, there are spiritual attendees over this altar. Altars are monitored in the natural. Like if you go to the church, you have altar boys.
Right.
Right. The Catholic Church. So the people attend altars in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Altars are attended to in the spirit. So if they tell you that stuff up front and you can make an educated decision, cool.
Right.
So when you make a spiritual contract at that altar, whatever is in that contract, them spirits that's attended, that's monitoring that altar are going to come to collect.
Mm.
And if you, when you agreed, even if you didn't read the fine print, right? Because who all reads the terms and conditions for everything you sign up for?
Child.
So if you don't read the terms and conditions, you don't know that the spirits that's attended to that altar are coming for the third and the fourth generation. They coming for blood. They coming for life. They coming for organs. They're coming for inconvenience. They're coming to punish. They're coming to steal. That's what they're going to do. They're malevolent. They're evil. It'd be the same thing for generational blessings. If I'm making a covenant and agreement with God, mm-hmm. which I have, I'm making agreements for my children and my children's children. My children and my children's children can come and collect in the spirits. God was sending angels to pour out on them the agreement, what I've agreed to for them because of the sacrifices that I've made. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how you see generational blessings. That's how you see people who stay married for 30 and 40 years. They have children. They have amassed wealth. I believe that does happen to Black people. I believe that does happen to people across the world.
Right.
Who are believers who love God. I believe you see people who live to be 90 and 100, live past the expected human lifespan. That's a generational blessing.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? When you see everybody's married, everybody has children, there are no broken homes, that's generational blessing, that's evidence. Mm. When you see business pass, so when you start seeing those things, there's been a commitment made there, there's been an agreement made there. But the same thing happens when you see those generational curses.
Mm.
The poverty, the children out of wedlock, the inability to produce, the cancer. Grandma had cancer. Mama had cancer. Now the kid's getting cancer. You see what I'm saying?
But
that's evidence of an altar that's being attended to.
But what would you say could be the reason for those who don't have any Greek affiliations in their family and go through the same thing?
It's somewhere in the bloodline. And it may not be Greek. It's not. So idolatry is not the only thing that brings about generational curses.
Right.
It could just be, it could be other things too. It could be adultery. It could be, I mean, you have to read the scriptures to find out what are the consequences for different things.
Right.
But, and it's not that, and the Most High God is not sending these curses anymore. He sent Jesus. So he's like, you know what? I don't even got to curse these folks no more. Then let their actions, let their own sin will bring about the curses. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So because the agents of the kingdom of darkness are watching to see, you know what? This person opened the door by committing adultery. I'm going to go in it. If you leave your door open,
I'm going to walk through.
This is somebody's analogy. I'm stealing it. She said, if you live in New York City and you leave your door open, what's going to come in?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so if the opportunity is there, these malevolent agents are going to come in and wreak havoc because they can. So it doesn't have to necessarily be that the consequence is just only because they may be connected to certain organizations, but that is a big thing that people oftentimes don't know about, which brings issues to human beings.
Yeah.
That they've made these covenants, these demonic covenants. So I know people be like, you said earlier, people say, oh, they keep saying the organizations are demonic. We're not saying that because we want to be mean and we don't love these people that are in the organizations. I don't think it's not the people. It's not a personal attack on the people. It's the fact that the organizations represent an opportunity,
right,
for people to unknowingly, unwittingly make covenantal agreements with spiritual forces that they don't know about.
Mm.
That is the problem with the whole organization. It's not the people. They don't know. Most of them don't know.
Yeah.
Most of them they scared to even go and bust out the ritual books. They scared to look. Most people that get mad at people like me that denounce and say, why they keep talking about this? They don't know what they're talking about. They too scared to even open the ritual book and look.
Or they might open be okay with it.
Christian. Well, maybe. And that's cool too. But if they're a Christian, right? If they feel like they want to go to heaven and they believe in Jesus, because again, this is about faith. I'm not talking about decisions that people make because it costs too much or they don't like the most recent programmatic agenda of the organization. Right. I'm talking about people that leave because the Holy Spirit have called them to do that and have exposed it. Let them be bold enough to put it side by side and pull out the ritual book and see what's in it. And even just pray and say, you know what, God, show me. Don't let me be lost.
You know what? That's a fact.
And that takes courage. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to leave it. Because you love those organizations. There's attachment. You feel pride in it.
Right.
It's an accomplishment. You spent all this money on Perry. Girl, I threw away brand new leather bookcase. I had a brand new leather trench coat.
Yeah.
When I came out, it was the 100th year. It was the celebration of the 100th
year. So I know you had mad stuff.
I said, it's centennial, Joe. Like, Jesus, you don't care about centennial? You pulling me out in the good year of 2022?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it. What you doing? He didn't care.
Yeah.
All the jewelry, all the gifts. It's a lot.
So what did you do? You just threw it away?
Some of it I threw away. Some of it I burned. Some of it I cut up.
Was it hard for you?
Yeah, girl.
Yeah.
But you know what? I had to check myself because I don't want to be like Lot's wife. That's the one that turned to the pillar of salt. Because
mm-hmm.
He told them, flee the city. I'm finna destroy it. Flee the city.
Oh, and that's, you know what's so funny? I'm on that in the Bible.
He said she looked back. So I had to really be aware that the pain that I felt I have a china cabinet, a hutch in my dining room.
Right.
And inside of it is not china. It's my grandmother's china. It's not in there, Ebony.
Yeah, I know what's in there.
I had porcelain dolls, black girl porcelain. They were painted black. One was a doctor. One was a cheerleader. One was playing a piano. One was a ballerina. And they're all dressed in blue and gold. Mm. They got Sitting Woman Row written on them. And I just had all these beautiful black girl figurines in the china cabinet. I had to get rid of all of the, and I'm talking about, it was a lot of them. They were like this big.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so as I'm getting rid of those and I'm cringing, I said, pay attention to that feeling. Why do you feel cringe inside? Because you love that? And it represents the idolatry in your heart that God is telling you, I don't like this, but yet you still cringe because you got to throw it away. That's a problem. That feeling is what is the connection to the idolatry. That feeling of couldn't be my precious thing that I love so much. That's the idolatry. That's what idolatry feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. So when you identify that cringe, that pain, that couldn't be, that denial, that's how idolatry looks when it raises up. Think about that game you play at the carnival where you have to beat
the things down. Yeah, when it pops up.
That's how it pops up. It's like a defense that pops up. That's idolatry.
Listen, I told y'all, this is one of those ones. And y'all have not heard anything yet because this concludes part one of this week's episode. Part two will be dropping next week. Same time, same place. If you want to kiki about this week's episode, make sure to follow me on Instagram at the PhD Podcast, at the Professional Homegirl on TikTok, and subscribe to the YouTube page as the full video will be dropping this Friday. As always, share your storylines because you never know how it can be someone else's lifeline. And until next time, ooh, that was a bar, no? Later. The Professional Homegirl Podcast is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. And you can connect with me on social media at the PhD Podcast.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, I love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.